Today is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. Our lessons from the sacred scriptures, the Word of God, are from Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 15, and the Gospel according to John chapter 6, verses 22 through 35. Today's message is titled, True Bread. Exodus chapter 16, beginning at verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening, and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." Here ends the reading from Exodus chapter 16. The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 6, beginning at verse 22. And again, this comes after the feeding of the 5,000 in the Gospel of John. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered into it with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." They asked him, "What must we do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who had given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Here ends the gospel according to St. John. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and that things that had grown old are being made new. And all things are being restored by him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That ancient prayer from the Gelasium Sacramentary, our prayer this day too. I'm asking you, beginning this morning, I'm asking you to think about human history. Think about history, human history. As the clock keeps moving on and on and on, with more history being etched into the sands of time, think of history. And now think of your family history. Where did you live when you were growing up? And what was happening while you were growing up in your community, in the nation? What was happening? What was happening in the world while you were growing up? Then go back to the previous generation when your parents were growing up. Where did they grow up? What was happening when they were growing up? And then go back to your grandparents. And where did they grow up? What was happening when they grew up? Are there any fascinating characters in your family history? How far back have you gone, especially those who enjoy genealogy? How far back have you gone? There's family history. All of us have family history. In my special storage space, I have a relative of mine. His name is Tolef. And in that place is Tolef's paper declaring he was now a naturalized citizen of the United States. And included in the document, he had to formally reject the King of Norway. It says, I reject allegiance to the King of Norway, right in that document. And this was during the time of President James Buchanan. James Buchanan was president from 1857 to 1861. So this document of Tolef's is from the mid-1800s. He is now a naturalized citizen of the United States of America. Also in those historical documents, I have land grants. Land grants that were, because my relatives had served in the War of 1812. And so they have land grants. Yes, those are the land grants. They're signed and everything. Fascinating history. And this history, it's real. It's true. I had the documents in my hands last night as I was looking at them. There's, in my hands, there's names, there's dates, there's signatures. What's more than that, I know they existed because here I am. I'm here this morning, flesh and blood, in person, which means I have a history, just like you have a history, which includes all my relatives before me. And in my basement on a shelf is a wooden box about 20 inches long, about 6 inches wide. This box was crafted over 150 years ago to 175 years ago. Because on the bottom of this small wooden box is Tolef's signature. And just around the corner from my mom's grave and my grandparents' grave is Tolef's grave in the Lutheran cemetery there in Decorah, Iowa. So that's history. That's human history. Now I want you to think back through the ages and eons ago to that time of Jacob. The time of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel by the word of the Lord. And think of the account of Jacob's descendants in Egypt, especially being delivered from Egypt by the mighty hand of the Lord. 10 plagues that defeated and showed to be nothing the gods of Egypt. Deliverance. Deliverance for the descendants of Jacob through the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost and lintel. At the sign of the blood of the Lamb, death passed over. It was on that night that the Lord instructed Moses to have all Israel prepare a meal with specific instructions and keep it as a memorial. I read from Exodus 12, beginning at verse 11. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. And so the Exodus began from Egypt. Go you and all your people, all your flocks, all your herds, all of you, said Pharaoh. And Pharaoh also said, and also bless me. Soon came that mighty deliverance through the parting of the waters of the Red Sea as Pharaoh's chariots came storming down on Israel. And the waters were parted and Israel crossed across on dry ground. Yes, it says dry ground. It's written, Exodus 14, beginning at verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east winds and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. And then a short while later, we find Israel grumbling against Moses and Aaron. As we heard Exodus 16 this morning, beginning at verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died in the land by the Lord's hand in Egypt when we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Let the words of the people of Israel sink in. Even after experiencing great and mighty sights by the hand of the Lord, the people of Israel would rather have stayed in Egypt, where there is food. Now the Lord has brought us out into the desert, and he's done it only to starve us to death. And they complained out loud. Oh, they complained out loud. You brought us here to starve us all to death. How obtuse can a people be? Thick-headed and thick-hearted, not understanding the great deliverance the Lord has done and establishing that everlasting ordinance of Passover? They're not going to die in the desert. Instead, they complained to the Lord has brought them out to die in the desert. Another great gift. And a demonstration of the compassionate care of the Lord God. The Lord said to Moses, Exodus 16, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. Now, with such wonderful events written about, I ask you, did this actually happen in human history? Did it really happen? What I just read from Exodus, chapter 12, chapter 14, chapter 16. Did those events really happen? from an article in spring 2003 issue of Bible in Spade. It's a biblical archaeology book, Bible in Spade. I'm quoting them now. It seems that every year, especially around spring, Passover season, when Jews and many Christians commemorate Israel's deliverance from Egypt, newspapers and magazines publish articles questioning the validity of the biblical account of Exodus, of the Exodus. In 2001, still quoting from 2003 article, in 2001, for example, the Los Angeles Times ran a front page story reporting that a liberal rabbi in the Los Angeles area caused quite a stir when he shocked his congregation by stating he had his doubts that the Exodus ever took place. And this is what the rabbi said. "The truth is," explained Rabbi David Wolpe, "that virtually every modern archaeologist who has investigated the story of Exodus, with very few exceptions, agrees that the way the Bible described the Exodus is not the way it happened, if it happened at all." Now, a little further down in that Bible in Spade article from 2003, you find this quote from radio commentator Dennis Prager. And Dennis Prager made an insightful comment about Rabbi Wolpe's skepticism of the Exodus account noted earlier. According to the Los Angeles Times article, most archaeologists do not believe the biblical Exodus occurred. That most archaeologists conclude from the alleged lack of archaeological evidence that Jews were never slaves in Egypt and the Exodus to Canaan never took place tells us more about these individuals, but nothing about the Bible or the Exodus. I mean, basically what he's saying, it was the bias of the archaeologists, the bias against the Bible. And you can do a quick internet search, and you can find writing after writing that these events never happened that are written about in Exodus, just as Dennis Prager points out. But he says it's more that the evidence of the anti-Bible bias present then it's about the history that actually happened. Still, I turn to you and ask you, did these events actually happen in human history? What is the implication if these events are simply myths telling a story and are not physical, actual human history? Did an Israelite family get up in the morning and find flakes like frost on the desert floor when the dew lifted? As the people turned to Moses and asked, "What is it?" With the answer, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." Fast forward now. An eon or more later, and there's a crowd found. A crowd going out searching, and they found Jesus. After searching for him for a while, we don't exactly know how long they went searching for him. And during their conversation with Jesus, the crowd asked, this is John chapter 6, beginning of verse 30. So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." This question from the crowd is based on the events of Exodus in the wilderness and that daily manna the Lord gave. The same crowd that witnessed Jesus instruct the disciples to have the people sit down. Same crowd that witnessed Jesus lift up 5 small barley loaves, give thanks, and distribute it to all of them, distribute the bread till they all ate as much as they wanted. Same with the fish. I mean, lifted them up, gave thanks, and broke them, distributed as much as they wanted. Then after all of that and had enough as much as they wanted, there were still 12 baskets filled with leftovers. The reaction of the people having enough to eat while witnessing what Jesus had done. They saw Jesus do it. They knew Jesus had done it. This is what they wanted to do. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. They wanted to make Jesus king. Now when they found Jesus again, they demand another sign. To which Jesus answers, John chapter 6, beginning at verse 32. Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus the Christ, the Son of Man, John uses the term Son of Man often, clarifies that it's not Moses who gives the bread, but the Father who gives the bread. So Jesus refers to himself oftentimes in the Gospel of John, the Son of Man. And Jesus is now clarifying, no, it wasn't Moses who gave you the bread. The Father gave you the bread. Moses said, it is the bread of the Lord has given you to eat. But it seems the people forgot the bread came from the Lord, and they attributed this wonder to Moses and not the Father, the Lord God. Second, the reality, the historical reality, was not called into question at all in this interaction between Jesus and the crowd. Rather, Jesus is pointing to something greater than the bread that was given in the wilderness, that wilderness desert daily. The bread in the wilderness desert only satisfied for the day. Which is, by the way, the same reason Jesus said the crowd was now looking for him. They were satisfied for the day, to have their hunger of this day now to be satisfied, like their hunger was satisfied last time when Jesus broke the bread and gave it to them. Their hunger was satisfied. John 6, verse 26, Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Manna fed for just the day, as the five loaves broke and fed the 5,000 and more, and satisfied them for the day. But now, something greater is being offered. John chapter 6, verse 27, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed the seal of approval." The food to eternal life is being offered. The food that never spoils is being offered. The food to eternal life being offered. Don't search for the food that spoils, the food that perishes. Remember what happened back in Exodus when someone tried to keep too much manna for the week, other than the sixth day when they're supposed to take two portions. But during the week when they took too much and tried to keep it overnight, do you remember what happened? By morning time, it was full of maggots and smelled terrible. Instead of manna for the day, seek the food that endures to eternal life. The Greek words express an even greater contrast than you read in the English there. The contrast between what is brief and perishes, and what endures eternally. Don't go for the food that spoils. That means brief and perishes. But go for the food that Jesus is offering that is eternal. It endures unto eternal life. The contrast in the Greek is greater than that even. The food the Son of Man will give has the Father's approval, Jesus also said. The seal, the approval, the seal of approval is what the Greek means. And the seal signifies ownership, which includes the full authority and backing of the owner. It is the legal signature, the seal is, which guarantees that is what is sealed. So it guarantees which is sealed. The bread offered by the Son of Man, which is guaranteed by the seal of the Father, Jesus speaking of himself, that guarantee, the seal of the Father, means what is given in this true bread truly does endures unto eternal life. It endures eternally, far from spoiling, far from perishing. The crowd asks, "What must we do the work God requires?" John chapter 6, verse 29, Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." believe in the one he has sent. Work is an action to be accomplished, that you believe in whom was sent. That's the action to do. Believe. Jesus is telling them, calling them to work, to a work the crowd doesn't think of, a work the crowd has not thought of. Jesus is calling them to recognize and acknowledge he was sent by the Father and is their Messiah. Embrace and receive Jesus, trusting and have faith in Jesus to truly care for their souls. The crowd was thinking of the tummy, getting their tummies filled again, and get the needs of hunger taken care of, so they'd no longer have to worry about that. You be king, you feed us. Jesus was speaking about the needs of their souls. The needs of their souls. A need they could never meet themselves. Souls that need the life that only the true bread from heaven can give. Souls that need that life, which is enduring life into eternity, that only the true bread from heaven can give. You're seeking me for the hunger of this day, Jesus said to them. Seek me for the hunger that is in your souls, is what he was really wanting them to do. To eat and take his body into your soul. The true bread, giving true life that endures into eternity. Believe in the one you see right before your eyes, whom all these miracles, all these signs you've seen are pointing to. Believe in the one who was sent. The Greek word semion, it simply means sign, and it often means miraculous event. Especially this event is to confirm and corroborate and authenticate the person in some manner. For example, Moses was given signs to show the Israelites in Egypt to confirm and corroborate the Lord indeed had sent Moses to them. One of the signs was Moses' staff. Toss it on the ground. It became a snake. Pick it back up. It's back a staff. That's one of the signs recorded in Exodus chapter 4. And Moses was given another sign also to share. And with the sign, the Israelites in Egypt should recognize, yes, the Lord sent Moses. They still grumbled. With the signs Jesus is speaking of and emphasizing, you should see who he is. You should see who he is. You should come to understand who he is by what he does. Jesus, the signs, those miraculous signs emphasize him so that you would know that Jesus is the Christ and you'd recognize the eternal purpose of redeeming humanity from sin that was being fulfilled and accomplished in Christ on the cross. Jesus' body will be broken for you. Jesus' blood will be shed for you on the cross, paying in full the redeeming price through the finished work on the cross. True bread. The Greek word for true is alethinos. It's an adjective, which means true, literally made of truth. So the adjective true bread, aletheos bread, it's bread, it's literally, it's made of truth. The noun truth is la aletheia, and it means truth in the fullness sense of truth. True truth, aletheia, this is truth. Remember Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth. The Father gives the true bread from heaven. Jesus is the one the Father sent. Jesus is this true bread, which truly does give life, that endures to eternal life. Because this is what's written in Isaiah chapter 53. The description of the redeeming work of Christ that he would accomplish on the cross. The Christ is pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment meant for us was placed on him, bringing us peace. The Lord, the Father, laid upon him, the Christ, the iniquity of us all. The Christ, life, is the last and final offering for sin. For Jesus the Christ is the perfect Lamb of God. He is the true bread which brings life. Life in and through Christ is being offered. The manna in the wilderness was a foreshadow. The blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel of Exodus 12 was a foreshadow too. For on the night Jesus was betrayed, the Passover, given years ago in Egypt, was now being fulfilled in the words and actions of Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Christ. I read from Mark chapter 14, beginning of verse 22. While they were eating, that's the Passover, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said. Seek the true bread means to seek the intimacy of relationship with Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, to seek him for who he is, and then to receive the very presence of who he is, the life that is in Jesus, who is life, to be in you, which gives you life that endures to eternal life. The crowd was seeking Jesus for what he had done. They are not seeking Jesus for who he is. Now back to the facts of history. The events recorded are actual human history. The giving of Passover instructions, the deliverance through the Red Sea on dry ground, the giving of manna from the Lord daily in the wilderness for those 40 years of wandering. These events foreshadow of what was to come, the true bread of heaven, the body of Christ, which is broken for you. So you can know with certainty what Jesus said about the true bread. You truly receive. You truly receive as the bread is broken and the wine is poured. You truly do have forgiveness of sins, all of your sins. And you are filled with this life that endures unto eternal life. For you're filled with the broken body and blood of Christ, the true presence which truly gives you life in Christ. John chapter 6, verse 30. Chapter 6, verse 34, I begin. "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." "Sir, always give us this bread." The Father has given you this bread, this true bread. The Father has given you the true bread that came down from heaven to give life to the world. And that means it gives life to you. For in Christ Jesus, the crucified and risen Son of God, this Christ Jesus whom we gather to worship and celebrate and sing and all these things, is the true bread of life given for you. Amen and amen.